meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4 IDN's Technical and Operations Call held on the 8th of June, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to our co-chair, Ruben. Please begin.
Thank you, Julie. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, everyone in all time zones. This is our 12th call of the Work Track 4. I'm surprised that we are at having so many calls until now, but we still have topics to go. Our agenda for today, which is in slide 2, I believe you all are, have control of the slide, so we're now at slide 2 with our agenda. That we'll start by with welcome and opening remarks, statements of interest updates, full work group update, if any, a recap of the many events that happened in Madrid last month, some community input we had on name collisions, and a possible way forward with the name collisions framework. Just a small note that in our agenda, we sent topics 5 and 6 reversed because it was actually the idea, but later we noted that it would be better to look at the community input first, so we reversed those 2 topics. So let's continue. Now we are in the next slide, and we have a welcome and open remarks we already have, and statement of interest update. So we have any statement of interest update anyone wishes to communicate? Going one, going twice, seeing none. I'll just remark if anyone doesn't have an SOI, that's a GenSO requirement, so we urge you to move forward with that. And in our next slide, we have the full group update. If Jeff or Avery is willing or not bored by providing that same update every work track, then we will have Jeff Newman. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff. I'll make it short update because we got a lot of things to talk about today. Our next meeting, full group meeting, is this coming Monday, and maybe the time could be posted on there. But essentially, we are going to go over some of our plans for the ICANN 59 in Johannesburg, including geographic sessions to just give an update as to where we stand on those. We are going to talk about the one of the other groups that we had hoped to form a drafting team on, but for whatever reason, the drafting team concept didn't work, so we'll discuss as a full group, again, the notion of first-come, first-serve versus rounds versus predictable application windows, whatnot. We had some really great discussion on the overall list for a few weeks back, and we're just going to bring that back to the forefront. And we are also preparing you should see shortly, if it hasn't already been sent out, ICANN staff has taken each of the comments that we received back from CC2 and has, they haven't analyzed it yet, but they've sorted them out into different documents corresponding to the work track. So Hopefully that may or may not be out yet. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't checked my email, but I know that today we were supposed to do that. So at some point today, that'll be sent out, if not already. So other than that, that's what's going on. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Next, we have the Madri May 27 event description. So we are now at slide 6. So since everyone has control of their own slides, we are now at slide 6. Organized or co-hosted a series of events during the last month in Madrid, and good number of those had one touching point with WorkTrack 4. So I selected some sessions that people might want to go through, either the slides or watch the presentation or possibly both. One of them was at May 11. It was a session called DNS Primer. It's not a direct reference to name collisions, but it's possibly useful to understand the inner workings of DNS before understanding how collisions happen, which is a more technically advanced topic. So that one is more of a suggestion, although not directly related. Then they had a health indicators workshop, the registry operators workshop, not many things in common with WorkTrack 4. But then the last 3 days of the series of events were mostly focused on technical DNS presentations. So that presents opportunity for lots of them to have something to do with name collisions. So first presentation, I'd like to call attention to it, call it, that's still a lot of packets, which is a reference to a paper from many years ago that called there were a lot of packets that was looking into garbage traffic at the root servers. And long story short, there is still a lot of garbage traffic in the root servers. But when they analyzed the reasons for that, most of the reasons are bad DNS implementations, like questions that shouldn't be hitting the root or servers that are asking badly formatted questions. So one of the learnings from that presentation is that in order to filter out actual collisions, you need first to filter this garbage traffic from the data, which is a challenge that both ICANN contractors, inter-ISO and JES advisors, and applicants, when they went looking to analyze the traffic, that's a challenge all suffered, which was how to sort out data in this garbage traffic. One other presentation that had something to do with name collisions was a presentation on one specific division of the ICANN Office of the CTO, which is a research middle box lab. Basically, they buy equipment, including home routers or enterprise routers or service provider routers, but in the lab and see how they behave related to the method that ICANN has its mission on the unique identifiers, domain names, IP addresses, etc. And one of the suggestions that I gave to the person that is running this is experimentation in ICANN, that a lot of the traffic that is seen at the root servers nowadays have the exact name of some halter manufacturers, like D-Link or previously Linksys and things like that. So if they could study whether the equipment from these vendors are generating those queries, that would be an interest research team. And while it's mostly believed that this some kind of factory default software malfunction, it could be generated instead by network operators. So if I'm Comcast and I buy equipment from D-Link, from Motorola, from Cisco, I could use that name and then generate those configurations. So it's not 100% sure that it's being caused by software defects on this router, but that was the suggestion that was related to name collisions. And the presentation that was most related to our topics was a presentation from Jeff's advisor, from Jeff Schmidt, owner or partner at Jazz Advisors, that was called New Data Sets Available for Colliding Domains. And this presentation was an effort that he's leading called Ordinal. Ordinal is a collection of domains that are prone to collisions, and they look at the traffic to see what is being requested there. This collection actually started during the new DTLD program, because the first domain, and the domain that has more collisions in that set, is corp.com, which is a domain that they secured during for the new DTLD effort, but they are now expanding to use for understanding other collisions generated by secondary uses of second-level domains, not by top-level domain delegations, which is one of the things that we looked into a few meetings ago, and is one of the things that is in our charter to see if there is something that could be done in that regard. And after the ICANN DNS symposium, which was mostly presentations from ICANN employees or ICANN contractors, like as advisors, the next 2 days were days organized by OARC. OARC is a non-profit community of DNS interest parties, which includes service providers, software developers, TLD operators. ICANN is also a member. And from the OARC meeting, I would like to highlight two of the sessions. One of the OARC engineering reports, which mentioned evolution in a data collection that you likely have heard about, which is called DITO, the Day in Internet Life, which is the data source that was analyzed by InterISO and Jazz Advisors to provide the guidance to ICA in the 2012 round. So they mentioned how the machines that run D2 are being upgraded. They have terabytes, almost petabytes of data that is stored there. They have expanded processing capacity, which is important in this in their case, because even OARC members can get the data out of OARC servers. So part of the compromise between parties to provide the data is that the data doesn't leave OARC servers. So if you want to do some research, you need to actually implement that code, queries, and statistical analysis to run at the OARC servers run the data, get the conclusions, and then get only summarized or analysis from that. And one topic that I did not expect to run into name collision related issues, but eventually did, was a presentation called The Dark Side of the DNS, where they were looking to uses of DNS as command and control channels, as malware distribution, and they happened to find one, some occurrences of .bit DNS queries. And at first they expected those to be use of Namecoin, which is a peer-to-peer naming protocol that currently exists, and there is software out there that you can. If someone could mute.
Yes, speaking. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead. And they found some instances of queries to that, and they later found that those instances were not real Namecoin queries. It was just attempts to disguise traffic as Namecoin. So that's just a small note of how studying collisions can be hard. So there are collisions. There are things that you think are collisions. And there are people that are try to mislead you into thinking they are collisions just to make them less detectable to security infrastructure. So that is a recursive issue in this team. So any questions on all these events and all that happened in Madrid? I see some people typing, so I'll give them a bit of time to. Martin, as if you could send out links to the presentations. Yes, I can. So we can take them as an action item. Both recordings and slides were meant to be available, although slides for all events are available, but not all recordings so far. They're still... Sorry, they are still working on the list of the recordings, mostly on the DNS symposium. But DNS Work is already on YouTube, and GDD Summit is already linked on the page over there. So, all slides are available. Video either are available or will be available. Jeff, do you want to mention on the SLA matrix?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I was just going to say that I thought it was, I wasn't there at the session, but I thought this is where you had gotten the presentation about the registry, 27 registry SLA misses. Or almost triggering the Ebro. I didn't know if we were going to drill, obviously not today, but at some point we should drill into that and go into that data. So I was just responding to your question of anything else happened in Madrid. So.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff is referring to a presentation by Gustavo Lozano, where they mentioned some SLA near misses or misses during the program, which is intricately related to the RSP program. But one of the possible linkages to WorkTrack 4 was presented by Donna Austin, I believe, is where could we have asked some questions that could have prevented those SLA misses from happening. So aren't we evaluating something? That's a question that we have ongoing with DDD. So if they figure out things that they could be asking evaluation, we could take those into work track 4. So we could start discussing that as soon as we have something that could later be used in work track 4. Jeff mentioned not just questions, additional testing we can or should recommend mostly during, possibly during PDT. PDT is also something that I don't remember us putting into work track 4 agendas. Is that in our charter as well, Jeff? Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jeff. I do believe, yes, in our charter. This is or in the charter and in the scope for work track 4. And the reason I bring it up is because, you know, when we do talk about the or a potential RSP program, you know, some have said that they're afraid that that may be lowering the bar. And so to, you know, to the extent if there is an RSP program, you know, perhaps this is the work track that would, you know, work on trying to make sure that the bar is not lowered and that, in fact, you know, if the bar needs some raising, then this would be the work track that would work on that. And, you know, looking at these SLAs that were potentially, again, I forgot exactly how it was worded. If I clicked on the link, I'm sure I could see it again. But, you know, whether some of them may have even reached the EBRO levels, which ICANN, in its discretion, did not trigger an EBRO for a number of reasons. But, you know, looking at technical questions and requirements and the scoring of the technical answers and others, I think all of this kind of relates to each other, and are definitely topics for this this work track so that we can make sure we're looking out for security and stability.
Thank you, Jeff. We also have plus one from the audience on that, but we have to move on with our agenda today. Next, we move on to the community input we received specifically on name collisions, which is starts at slide 9. We have a slide 8, which is just a history of what we already mentioned that CC2 could bring to us. But in slide 9, we have starting at slide 9, we have actual input we received either due to CC2 or to direct outreach. In case of Jest Advisors, this is something that actually started in Madrid. I asked Jeff Schmidt if he could answer some of our group questions on name collisions. He gladly accepted, hasn't charged us even a beer for that, so we need to thank Jeff for that. I can clear that this wasn't violation of the confidentiality of the contracts. So Jeff Advisors sent us that those answers. That I tried to summarize here is first answer was first main topic was don't change the winning team. They advocated that control the interruption besides APD, you know, we're not talking APD here, the final name collisions framework was a success, measuring either the actual collision that happened or thing that happened. And so they advocated keeping both the interruption period that was used, which was 90 days. They advocated maintaining the exact same technical framework that can benefit from the fact that it's already implemented in software out there. So today, if you go use a Chrome browser and the response is a collision, it actually says so in the error message. Say, oh, this is an icon named collision. So that's the kind of software support that is difficult to earn, and we got it, so we should keep using that. And I know that ALEC basically mentioned almost the same thing, don't change the winning team. But other suggestions from Jazz advisors, one is to look into second-level domain collisions, which was the main theme of their presentation during DNS symposium. And they even suggested one mechanism for us to consider, which is a notification mechanism, which is to alert a user that a domain that he previously owned is no longer under his control. So if he had something that was tied to that domain, either some security level, security clearance to that domain, don't do that anymore. This domain is now under a difficult to get. And he also mentioned that from data set perspective, we should use DITO, the database I mentioned from DNS OARC, and Ordinal, which is the effort that they are now conducting. One note I have on DITO and Ordinal, which is some people that might not like about those databases, is that they are research database. It means they are not public data. They are not something that you go to their website and download that data. But the data that is available either for nominal access fee or membership fee, or not that something that people will ask you to pay $1 million to access that data, but it might include some either money or some security clearance in case of Ordinal. Ordinal is even tied to the U.S. government Homeland Security program that they have on information security research. So you need to get clearance with that in order to get access to original data sets. But I believe that most of the possible contractors on that areas could get clearance or are already OARC members or so forth. And one item that I skipped and Jeff noticed and mentioned in the chat is that one of the questions we made were, hey, in 2012 we had some high-risk strings like Home, Corp, and Mayo. How we could identify others? And one suggestion he had was on looking into localized versions of those same strings. So if, for instance, if Corp is corporation identifier, so what would be the Chinese word for corporation? So looking to strings that are similar to those that were identified in English or for using by native English speakers from other languages and other business cultures and identifiers. Other input received includes the SEC, attack racially, you should advise her to answer our questions, but most of them recycling previously issued advisors, that looking at 7 years after their first advisory, I think it's still very up to date. So it's it's curious that sometimes we seem to be slow learners in not applying advice we already got before. One of them was to create a do not apply list, which is a list that NTLD that shouldn't be applied for, which is actually done in the 2012 round. So we could look into whether some other strings could be added to that list. Fact 45 also mentioned something that I'm now calling an exercise care list, which would be a list of, hey, since you applied for that name might have some issues because we have seen a lot of that in root service. That wouldn't be a blocking list, but only a be careful if you apply to that, consider what you were doing. They also mentioned something that I haven't looked at before, was that to consider what to do with previously delegated TLDs. Because before the 2012 round, there will never happen the deprecation of a GTLD. There has been CCTLDs, but not DTLDs. But we have now removed DTLDs from the root zones. And what happens if someone applies to that same TLD? What name collision possibilities there are in previously delegated TLDs? That was also one of the mentions from ESSEC. So while there is a two-year waiting period for brand TLDs, not all TLDs are currently in that rule. And even some TLDs delegated more than 2 years ago might have some issues that need to be looked at. They also call it on us to identify private namespaces that could be used to in local networks instead of generating collisions. I see Jeff has his hand raised, and I need a little rest. So please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. Rest your voice a little bit. I know you've been doing a lot of talking. I understand that not all the agreements have the two-year waiting period, and perhaps that's something that this group could look at. I know that draw a parallel into the telephone industry, which I'm familiar with from past life. They generally have a waiting period before they reassign phone numbers from one party to another, and although that's a different form of collision where, you know, intended voice traffic would go from one party to another, there are a lot of parallels that we can learn from that. And if we think it is a wise policy because of ESSEC concerns, perhaps it's something that we recommend at this point in time, as might be a decent recommendation. The other thing I add is most of the, or all the TLDs, GTLDs that have been, undelegated or removed, have been ones where there have not been any real major traffic or certainly any sites that were relying on traffic coming in for any kinds of transactions or anything like that. They were TLDs that were delegated but had nothing more than NIC sites up there. So if that changes and we find ourselves in a position where there is a TLD that is removed from the route that had a considerable amount of traffic, that's where a waiting period might be needed much more. I would not necessarily make that a prerequisite to starting another application window and make it clear that that's not a prerequisite, but certainly something that we could offer recommendations on. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Moving on FX input, they also mentioned us to identify private namespaces to allow networks that want TLDs to express internal-only devices to have so, and that would likely have to have do some coordination on special use domain names, which is a good point to bring another thing that is happening concurrently. ITF is currently working on a document, the problem statement on management of special use domain names. They are aware of the possible issues between ITF coordinating the same namespace for non-DNS users and ITF coordinating that root namespace for the DNS users. And they will have a real soon a last call on that document. They invited ICANN participants to a call that happened some time ago. I think I sent that call details to the WorkTrack 4 list. But there is one thing to remember about participating in that ITF last call, that ITF is not an organization of companies, so nobody that expresses themselves in the ITF environment are expressing the opinion of their employer. They're expressing their opinion, which can be good, means that you might not need corporate approval to manifest your opinions, but also means that you can say, oh, I'm talking on behalf of BRG. Sorry to take on you, Martin. Because they don't recognize organizations that. So Martin could see what input the BRG has to, on that problem statement and go there and say, I'm Martin Sutton, and I think that this, and that. And that's possibly something that you need to follow on the next weeks. I also need to comment that this is a problem statement, so this doesn't prescribe any solution. So it's more like what we did here in subsequent procedures with a discussion group. That's, so this last call is probably on the output of their discussion group, and after that they will start some work effort into solving that problem. So this is not the last call on the solutions, only on the identification of the problems. Moving on to slide 10, we have the input received from the International Trademark Association that in short said to avoid the alternative path to delegation type list, but if they are user, they couldn't control trademarks. I think most security people wouldn't like that idea of exempting labels just because they are trademarks, but we might not get into the whole idea of using lists so that we avoid altogether issues that if the names on the list are trademarks or not. The input we had from the registry stakeholder group and other GTLD registries include affiliates, include BRG, mostly concerns on lack of predictability, which is an understatement for what happened, but let's give it at that. They mentioned no need to extend the to our readiness for the first 2 years of delegation for the 2012 round TLDs. We need to look into whether this is needed or not. They mentioned to reduce control interruption period to 60 days, and they also mentioned to assess overall risk instead of just quantity of queries that are not representative of threats and risks to the name system. One comment from Thompson, Trump, and Doc that we should initiate control interruption period sooner rather than later, and we'll probably think on that as a good thing. We also had not a comment. This is not a CC2 comment. We received a communication from the office of the CTO, the policy staff, that we should consider reaching out to DNSOR, which was the organization that promoted the event I mentioned in Madrid, DNS operators working group in IETF, and DNS working group in RIPE, and technical experts group in ICANN, to see if they could have any specific input on collision. So David Conrad thinks that we might have some opinions there that we are not, we haven't yet accounted for. Although most DNSOARC members that are active DNSOARC members and active DNSOP members, which are two mailing lists that I'm also a member, they are also SAC members, but possibly some SAC members could have opinions that are not SAC consensus opinions, so they could perhaps give their opinions on that as well. This is the input we got. Any comments or questions on that input? I see some people typing, but there are some threads in the chat that people might be wanting to look. Sarah Langston pointed out that feedback from Hedge stakeholder group on this issue regarding collision was not subject to a vote, and add that most RSG comments are not subject to a vote. They are just subject to no objections from the active members, which was the case in this comment as well. But it, even though it was not a single person, a single registry making comments, it was actually a group effort to develop those comments. And has a question on SAC advice, which is I will leave to Julie, that also manages support for SAC to respond. And so we go to name collisions framework. We have a slide, it's slide 12, that I will skip because it's a duplicate of what we already mentioned in the previous WorkTrack 4 meeting, which is how things were in the 2012 round. But then I tried to aggregate the input we received either from CC2 and other and direct advice from Jazz and all the input we had into a possible proposal. This is a let's call it a working draft that is the currently add of what has already been suggested, but we can work on until we are comfortable with it. So we can go next to slide 13, which is initiate of the aggregate proposal. So the procedure would start by ICANN staff providing a do not apply list as happened in 2012, and a list of exercise care strings. So, hey, for these exercise care strings, we are expecting some kind of detailed study to be performed by ICANN and some more detailed study to be performed by the applicant. So it goes both ways. And then every application, whether or not to those identified exercise care strings, would be allowed to file collision mitigation framework. So instead of asking people to comment after the fact, we could ask during application time, say, hey, if you think you might be running into some kind of collision trouble, tell us how you plan to have that, to handle that. Next, all applied for strings would be evaluated as to the risk of collisions into three tires, low risk, aggravated risk, and high risk. Those names can be changed for anything you want. I tried to actually mimic what was already being done, what was already done in the 2012 round. So this classification was already there. But it would be clear that if the findings of a right risk that terminates the application, or applications, if more than one application was made for the same string, which is practically what happened in 2012, except we are still waiting for someone to actually sign the death sentence, but that's what happened in practice. If the string deemed to be this intermediate level aggravated risk, then some kind of mitigation framework that's not a standard, not a vanilla collision mitigation framework would be required. So if the applicant already provided one, that would speed up things because, hey, now there's one mitigation framework to look at that. If not, then it will take more time to move the application through the process. And all low-risk strings would share a common framework using controlled interruption. Means the metaphor of controlled interruption would be the same that was used last round. Let's say we are doing this to make people that might be affected notice they are being affected and change their systems. So it's not an interruption avoidance. It's an information mechanism. Let's say you are going to be into trouble real soon. Act expeditiously. So next, we are now on slide 14, this aggregate proposal 22. All low-risk strings could start controlled interruption just after that collision analysis are published. So if, even before contracting, even before delegation, even before anything, ICANN could start that controlled interruption for those low-risk strings. This is required because for some strings, even putting up the controlled interruption mechanism could be bad. So it's not something that ICANN could do immediately at review day, if there is such a thing, to just start controlled interruption. First, there needs to be that assessment, and after that, they can start controlled interruption. But it could be before detection resolution, could be before a lot of things. So this would possibly allow the interruption periods to be longer, and nobody noticed because there is even a contracted registry yet. The period would be the minimum of 90 days. I regret having to write this because I was one of the proponents of reducing that period to 60 days because personal opinion, co-chair hat off, That's what we found. But we had at least one technical opinion against that, that they, that we should keep 90 days. We have other opinions say if it's working, don't mess with it. So, which is the same period. So the only consensus position between those would be keeping the period as it is, which is one of the ground rules at this PDP that by default we are following the 2012 guidebook and procedures. I think we probably come to the conclusion that of there is no reason to do this, that 2-year readiness, but we can't say that yet because data is not yet available. We had a data request to GDD so they could describe to us the 37 issues of collision that was reported to them. I think it's very likely that after seeing those, we probably came to that conclusion. And I say that because I have knowledge of some of this collision, but this knowledge comes from other register operators in confidence, so it can be used in a PDP. So that's something that needs to be tabled so for the moment until we get actual data that can provide for evidence-based decision for us. One possibility of evaluate the mitigation frameworks would be the Registry Service Technical Evaluation Panel, RSTEP, which is a condition that is already foreseen depending on what registry service you provide. So that same panel has the expertise. It's not the only ones that within ICANN that could have this expertise, but they have, so it looks simpler to move to that panel. And we wouldn't have any alternative path to delegation or other per label lists, which is a bad idea that nobody was wishing to back up. So we wouldn't do that. We might open the possibility for some exceptions to the wildcard because at least one collision instance could be resolved by simply removing one spring from the problem, but ICANN wouldn't allow that. And most of all, we would do a data-driven, I think the process would imply a data-driven decision-making using data that is at least research accessible. So this would probably disqualify some of the data that can be accessed even by researchers. For instance, large recursive servers like Google. So data would be limited to that. And that's what we had for aggregate proposal. So let me go through the chat while people think on questions. Just mentioned that ASAC did not provide advice before 2012 of named collisions other than you should look at the issue, yes, but most of the data that could be used for applicants to decide not to apply for a thing were there. Even ASAC advice or one circle ID post I mentioned by George Kirico. So the data was there, but what even already mentioned when, is that 2012 shows to us that just saying look at the data might not cut it. So if you say, oh, look at the data, and by the way, this string is possibly something that you need to look at in more drill down, that might work. Sarah mentioned that some ideas before reducing length of the named collision period, but as Sarah might have noticed, the only possible consensus position between those includes not reducing the collision period. So I don't think we as work group would get to a result of reducing the named collision period. So we either agree on keeping it as it is, or we agree on not agreeing at all. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I remember that before the final named collision framework came out, or it might have been as the named collision framework came out, a suggestion was made in line with what's in slide 14, where it says that even ICANN.org could even contact DNS providers to do so before, certainly with delegation. Maybe they would want to wait till contract signing. But is that a question we could submit to ICANN to say what are they basically refused to do that, but didn't really provide reasons why. Could we potentially send a question to ICANN staff saying, you know, regardless of what the named collision period is, when it's clear that someone has entered into a contract for a CLD, is it possible that ICANN could, quote, delegate those strings to start the named collision period so that by the time that CLD is delegated that there may be a part or if not all the named collision period would be over? I know that raises other issues, but we've never really explored that and asked the question.
Thank you, Jeff. I remember one response they had for that is that by that time they weren't 100% sure that the possible collision could happen, so they preferred to defer until it's actually delegated because anything could happen before that. I don't buy that. I don't agree with that answer, but that's one answer I remember. Other thing that they could argue is that this was not foreseen in the application, including application costs. So that would cost them some money, even not that much, when contracted in scale. But they could say it was not foreseen, so they didn't have the resources to do that. So if we include that and we develop the subsequent procedures, that cost can be factored into the application cost. So that's the first answer is one they actually gave to some applicants. The second is just guess speculation from me. Any other questions since we are already 2 minutes after the scheduled time? Seeing none, I just ask if anyone has any other business to discuss. Short any other business, Anne, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rubens. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise. I have put a lot of comments into the listserv about what I believe with respect to the need for expert advice in connection with several questions being raised about name collision. I also, I don't honestly believe that this group should proceed without contracting for objective third-party expert advice, and I think that even in the RYSG comments, they note that if we do look for expert advice, that it should be free of any conflicts of interest. Maybe it's true that you and Jeff and certain others on the call feel that they have a very strong understanding of all the technical aspects and that you feel confident in how you're treating the subject based on your technical understanding, but in fact, there are many on this call who, wouldn't even, I'll include myself, be in a position to necessarily analyze or judge the technical advice that seems to be being provided and or summarized on this call. I don't think as a procedural matter it is the correct way to go that it's good to have folks who are technically strong and especially, you know, to have you leading, but I don't think it's, as a policymaking matter, the right way to proceed is for everyone else who isn't technically that knowledgeable to simply accept, you know, what may be said by you or by Jeff. I strongly believe, as I've mentioned in the list, that this group cannot proceed to develop name collision policy or update the current framework or react to and recommend new, you know, board resolutions other than those that have already been adopted by the board without obtaining, you know, formulating our questions properly and obtaining expert independent advice on some basis other than just an ad hoc, you know, well, somebody from JAS sent me an email or so-and-so made a presentation at GDD, where, by the way, a lot of folks involved in policymaking here did not attend that meeting. And so I want to raise that procedural question again because I feel as though, to some extent, we're delaying this process and we want to stay on track with getting to the next round. I strongly believe we need to be developing questions for expert advice, seeking funds to, you know, get estimates, seeking funds, and addressing these questions, you know, much more systematically from the standpoint of policy development with independent, objective technical advice. Thank you.
Thank you. And before I present to other people, let me just tell you something about my background. I came most initially from information security, later through internet engineering, and only after that to policy and marketing where I am today. But what I can tell is that in internet engineering and information security, there is a lot of cooperation that doesn't include hiring specific advice. So most of how the internet is built today was built on asking other people what they think and then incorporating that answer. No one is expected to know everything, to have complete knowledge of every knowledge domain that's out there, but most of the internet was built on this kind of peer-to-peer relationships and information. That's why even the internet standards are called an RFC, request for comments. So this type of work of asking others to say how what do you think about that is how we got here. So and internet is working pretty well so far. So that can work. That we can hire advice if needed, but we don't have we don't have to think that if we don't hire anyone to say something to us, we can know that. We can ask people and people will answer. And one of the things I mentioned in this slide that ICANN CTO actively suggested us to outreach to some of those technical folks. So we might have something more to do with that. But you already have ESSAC advice, which is strongly technical advice. You have JAS advisors advice, which is the same authors of the framework that's currently used. So I so far feel pretty comfortable with what you already have, but we can always have more input out there. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Anne, I would strongly encourage that everyone read that JAS final report because that is an expert report. I see Aubrey's comment that it's only one expert report and maybe we need others. I'm not necessarily sure I agree with the statement that they have a lot to defend. That is expert advice. That's the expert advice that we thought, and they reviewed the way that everything went from the last round. So I do think that we need to treat that as expert advice. Dare I say it, and I know I'll get crucified for this, but I would say their advice holds a lot more water than the ESSAC at this point because they're the only ones that have studied the issue. I have no problem with seeking another opinion, but we need to be very clear on what we ask them, and we need to make sure that we've taken into account some of the findings that have already been made. So if we want to develop certain recommendations, which, by the way, are in line with the final JAS report, so if we wanted to shorten the 90-day period to 60 or have ICANN do it, then perhaps we can take our proposed recommendations and run that by an expert group and have them look at whether they see issues with it. But I'm not sure that in looking at the list of questions you came up with, a lot of that takes us all the way back to square one, plus some of it, the questions had to do with strings that were applied for in the 2012 round. And while I certainly would like to know the answers of what's going on with the strings in the 2012 round, those strings are not within the remit of our work because those strings have now been applied for and either they'll be delegated eventually or they won't be, but in either case, they'll not be for delegation in the next application window. In other words, they won't be eligible to be applied for in any case, whether they get delegated or not. So I don't think we need answers on those for this particular for going on with other strings. And then the last point is that there's a concern that whatever policy we come up with here would retroactively apply to those high-risk strings from 2012. And if that is a concern, and I don't think that would be the case because that's not within our remit, but we could always put in a note within our recommendations that says this does not apply to any strings that are caught up in this 2012 round. So I think we can solve that with one sentence. And the recommendations of looking at variations, again, is a little bit puzzling for me. I need to look a little bit more into that because variations were applied for of .corp, right? You have .llc, .llp, and .inc, and a bunch of other ones that are allowed through. If we're talking about variations of foreign translations, things like that, they didn't come up on the initial report as being issues, but again, we could commission that narrow work. What I don't want to see is us get into a let's completely start this issue from scratch. I want us to look at actually what happened. Thanks.
Next, we have Cheryl. Please go ahead, Cheryl. Cheryl, if you are still on mute, we can hear you.
Yep, I was still on mute talking to myself. Thank you, it probably makes more sense if I talk to myself. I'll get answers I agree with. Look, I think what we are at a point now coming up to nearly 14 minutes past our appointed hour of finishing, so that's close enough to quarter past the hour in my view, is we need to put a pin in this conversation now. Obviously continue it on the list, but I think, Rubens, what we have here is an excellent starting point. We might need to distill some analysis out of today's discussion and some specific questions to discuss at the first half of our next meeting. We do have another meeting before we get on planes to Johannesburg, and that meeting is going to obviously continue conversation on collisions, known collisions, and we hope look at a little bit more in terms of where we are and where we'll be in a post-Johannesburg environment. But if that doesn't happen, that's fine. So really good conversation, guys, but we're not going to solve the impasses right now. So let's put a pin in this and continue on. So back to you, Rubens, to close the meeting, I hope.
Thank you, Cheryl, and if the note, we can end our call and wait for the next Work Track 4 call that will be just as exciting as this one. thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ruben. Thanks, everyone. Who said it wasn't fun in this technical group? Bye.
Thank you. Today's meeting has adjourned. Please disconnect all lines. And everyone, thank you and have a great day.